Thanks for tuning in to the Glossy Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Manoff, and today I sit down with Neil Morgan, head of strategy at one of the oldest American heritage brands, Filson. At 127 years old, Seattle-based Filson is in growth mode, opening stores, expanding internationally, and establishing a new women's business. At the same time, it's seeking to grow its shopper base beyond the outdoorsmen and adventurers who have long supported the business. I wanted to ask Neil about the challenges associated with evolving the brand while also retaining its core audience. And I also wanted to ask about his path within the company, which has taken him from president to COO to head of strategy in the last 2 years. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you, Jill. I'm happy to be here today. Appreciate it.
So happy to have you. Let's talk about your path. You've been with the company for a while now, but you've been bouncing around a bit.
Yeah, I've been here 8 years, and maybe taking a step back, I spent about 8 years here in New York City working in Wall Street, spent some time at Goldman Sachs, and then kind of coming to Filson around eight years ago, I was actually working in the retail store for a bit, just kind of was changed the life path and along the way, wanted to do something different, moved out to Seattle, and started there as kind of a temporary transition job.
Oh my gosh. Let's talk about that leap. What a leap. I mean, first of all, 8 years on Wall Street, that is nothing to sneeze at. That's a lot. That's crazy. So were you feeling burnt? I know how it is.
I was. I think, you know, I came out of college thinking, got a finance degree. I'm going to go to New York City. I'm going to tackle this big city and take it all on. And I really ended up, you know, liking the job, but realized I didn't want to do that long term.
Right on.
I liked New York City, but I really decided I also wanted a change of pace. And I had family and friends out in Seattle, decided to make a move, and went out west. Really think I might end up in like the LA, San Francisco area, but made my stop in Seattle and kind of got started from there.
And started in the retail stores. You fell in love with the brand?
Yeah, so I actually discovered the brand way back when I was in New York, saw a pop-up the store Filson had at Paragon Sports over here on Broadway and Union Square, and also kind of discovered through Michael Williams, a continuous lean blog that he ran, like American heritage brands that he was focused on.
A continuous lean! I know this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So good. Go ahead.
It's great. No, it's great. And so yeah, I discovered the brand through that, moved out to Seattle. Yeah, I had quit my job from here, decided I want to kind of reset, took a few months off. Holiday times came around. I saw that Filson was hiring for like part-time sales associates. I'm like, you know what? I like the brand. I have nothing going on right at the moment. Still kind of figuring out what I want to do next. And took a job in the store for the holiday seasons of 2016.
I mean, and grew from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got to meet our chief creative officer now, Alex Carlton, his variety of background, and he and I got to know each other, and he asked me to kind of come up and help him on the creative and marketing side from a project management, budget management standpoint, and throughout that process and be able to jump into a variety of roles at the company.
Yes. Well, I know Filson is owned, or your parent company is Bedrock Manufacturing Company. I saw some stories when you took on your role. I think it was when you took on the president role, and basically those behind your parent company really talking about their faith in you and Alex as this dream team. Talk to me about like how you guys collaborate on the day to day.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alex and I balance each other out very well. I mean, as the left brain, right brain, he's got the creative brand side, and I can operationalize, project manage, and take his ideas and put them in a way that I think can scale throughout the business and the organization. So I think we've really developed a great tandem between us over the last, you know, 8 years, and more importantly, over the last several years, as we've kind of been working closely together. He's been a great partner along the way, and I think he sees kind of the value that I bring to him, that, you know, balancing skill sets, the yin and the yang in a way.
Yeah, well, I've been hearing about Filson more and more these days. And what is fueling all of this activity and this growth? New funding, new partners, or I don't know, just go ahead.
Yeah, a couple things. Yeah, and we, in 2021, we had a group coming out of WP or Italy called WP Lavori. And they came as an investor in Filson as well. They're a minority investor, but bring a wealth of experience. Christina Calori has been running WP for over 40 years right now, importing things like Vans into Europe, but also working with brands like Barracuda and Barber. And so they've really helped us kind of accelerate our growth, not only in Europe, but also as we look at things, as you mentioned earlier, launching a women's line. They've been an integral part of that, working closely with Alex and our team and driving the development of that and, you know, finally bringing that to light. Excited to launch that this August.
That's so exciting. Am I correct? You've always had women's to some extent, but this is like the big push.
Yeah, we've always had women's, but I think finally this is coming from her point of view. We worked with women's designers, women's merchandising team, this whole product development team out of Bologna that helped us with this is primarily a women's team. So I think we're putting a new perspective on it. It's long overdue, to be honest with you. Everyone asks for it. Women come into our shops and are buying some of the stuff. They're stealing their boyfriend's coats. But they really desire this, and I'm glad we're able to bring something that's being very well received so far, and excited to kind of expand upon this as we move in seasons beyond this fall.
Yes. Well, I know you want to grow awareness locally, but also expand internationally. Is there demand for an American heritage brand in these markets that you're eyeing, like Europe and Asia? And what's the breakdown right now? Like, the majority of sales are happening in the U.S.?
Yeah, majority of our sales are still in North America, but Europe is growing and growing pretty fast for us. That's in partnership with the WP team, who's not only an investor in the company, but also our European distribution partner. And we're also actually looking at expansion in Japan as well. So finding partners there who will help us grow. Definitely seeing a keen interest from European and Japanese markets for the Filson American Heritage brand. I think we developed something that's very timeless, classic Americana that people really resonate with. It's a quality product that's made with the best materials that we can for the best use for our customers.
For sure. Well, you mentioned, I think, a store in New York. Where are your stores happening? What's your footprint?
Yeah, so we have 11 stores across North America. We have stores from East Coast to West Coast. We have a store here in New York City in Union Square, just on Broadway near the ABC and Paragon Sports. We had a store in Boston, Midwest, and Minnesota, and Illinois. And then the West Coast, we have some in California, Oregon, Washington State, as well as Vancouver and Toronto. We're actually excited to expand in the California market. So we do have one in San Francisco, but we'll be opening up an LA store this June.
Exciting. And you do team with wholesale partners, yes? I creeped on... I'm a fan of the Huckberry team, and I creeped on their site, and I was like, I know Filson's on there. I was just had a hunch, and I was right. But yes, who makes sense as a retail partner?
Yeah, Huckberry's a really great partner for us. They've been a great brand that I've seen rise quite a bit over the last decade, and really like the way that they curate for their customers, the content that they're building. So they've been a really great partner. As we continue to grow and expand, the resale partners or distribution partners we're looking for are a combination of that small specialty type shops and then some of the bigger box retailers. We're in partnership with brands like Public Lands right now.
Okay, great. What's the breakdown? DTC versus wholesale. If you want to talk DTC, what's in-store versus online, all the things.
Yeah, for sure. Of course. Yeah. So DTC is about 80% of our business. The balance of that being wholesale. Within that wholesale, I include things like international, which is still small percent, maybe 5% of our overall business right now. And then within DTC, about 2/3 of that is e-com right now, and about a third of that is stores.
So I know Bedrock also owns Shinola. Is there any overlap with your resources? Maybe you share I don't know if supply chain even makes sense, marketing folks. Like, where are you guys able to share?
Definitely we share more on the back of house, so the finance side, IT, HR related, but they are our sister companies, so we do share best practices. We're in constant communication with their marketing teams. Our supply chain teams are working closely together. We're finding ways to continue to leverage synergies across the brand. So it's a great opportunity to work with them. We've worked with them in the past too and developed watches that we did about 6-7 years ago. They helped us build a Filson watch for a period of time. Since then, we've archived that, but it's been a great partnership with them.
So fun. You mentioned marketing. Let's dig in a little bit. What's working? Well, like tiny detail, but like I got to ask about appealing to women. Like you said, women have always come into the store. Maybe they've come to the brand, but I know, men is what I hear. There's a different type of marketing that appeals to them. Maybe it's a musician or an athlete, or it's not a typical style influencer. Are you taking a totally different approach for the women's market?
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to evolve from there. Katie McElroy is our head of marketing, and she's really taken a unique approach to it. Right now, we're actually in the process of launching what we call our Pioneering Women series. So we're going to have some content supporting it. Right now, I think we have 5 people selected that will be featured in that coming out in the next couple of weeks as we lead up to the launch. We're taking on out of home opportunities here in New York City. So you'll see us on some billboards around the Soho and Union Square area as well. And then just thinking about the way we think setting up from a customer engagement standpoint within our shops, you know, private shopping nights and other opportunities to create these, exclusive experiences that are going to be special and unique for the product launch, and then also just catering to the customer base in the way that they shop.
Yes. Are collaborations a newer opportunity for Filson? Because I do know that you, speaking of musicians, you did collab with Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, that's great partnerships. Collaborations have been part of our brand for a long time. We've done things with Levi's and Burden in the past, but most recently we did it with Chris Stapleton. And it's really a great story. He's been a fan of the brand for his whole life. His father was a big fan of the brand. And it was almost like 8-9 years ago, he walked into what was our 4th Avenue store. We have since relocated in Seattle, met our store manager at the time, and just described his interest in the brand. And ever since then, it's just been this organic, authentic relationship with him. And working with him and his team, pulling together a product line that was really kind of in some ways servicing his needs in a way as a guy on the road quite a bit. We put together a luggage collection that really supports him and his team and his crew as they're kind of out on the road touring. And we actually were able to actually bring back an archival piece, which is our outfitter bag. That was something that he really liked and enjoyed, and be able to help him be part of it. And with all of our collaborations, like similar with him, he's integral in the part of design. He's picking out the materials. He's getting in with the team here. He's helping with the content creation. It's been an amazing partnership.
That's so cool. So if he wears your pieces on the road or whatever, maybe not in a typical marketing campaign, but then also there's presence on Yellowstone, like you guys have had placement there. Like, what does that do for your brand? Is it just more about you're able to leverage that within your own marketing, or does that work to boost sales?
I think it does both. I mean, we're able to take an opportunity, for example, when Chris wore our black Shortline Cruiser, singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl over a year ago, you know, able to kind of showcase that as a partner of ours and communicate to our community that, you know, here's a, you know, person that we love and we're enjoying working with, and, you know, showcasing the brand. And similarly, as you mentioned, Yellowstone, that came out very naturally as well. The costume team behind that went to us and was looking for things that would feel very authentic to the Western lifestyle. And we're able to find things within our product line that support that. Cole Hauser's character, Rip, wears our Shortline Cruiser as well. And it's been a staple piece of his persona for 5 seasons now.
That says a lot about like your authenticity in terms of what is heritage. And I know you guys are talking sustainability more now, but is it about, these classic evergreen materials, prints, what have you? Like, tell me about how you're able to maintain that look, feel, vibe.
Of course, like you said, I mean, I think the products that we're working with and the materials we're working with, the products we're creating are very timeless and evergreen. The tin cloth jacket is a waxed cotton jacket that we get from a mill in England called British Millerane. It's been a product staple of ours for many years. Our cruiser jacket, for example, the Mackinac Cruiser, is actually 100 years old this month.
Oh my God.
In March. So we were able to have that patent in 1914, and the style has rarely changed in that period of time. And over that, you know, over a century, people are still buying that product the way it was over 100 years ago. So I think, you know, our customer base has really shown that our product can stand the test of time, is something that's timeless, something that stands for quality and heritage.
For sure. What did the pandemic do for the company? Because of course, everyone's moving to sweatpants, but at the same time, I'm hearing all these great things about brands that more so I think of brands that cater to like outdoor activity, like tennis or running, but you guys are an outdoorsy company as well. Maybe people are hiking, maybe people are camping, whatever you guys are known for. Tell me about the impact.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely had us, you know, refocused a little bit. I mean, one, you just talk about the workplace environment, kind of going remote back into the office. But really, from a product standpoint, we were able to, I think, evaluate what was not working, what was working. We called back on some of our product line over the last 3 or 4 years, simplifying things, but also recognizing there is a sentiment out there of wanting comfort. So I think two things. One, the women's line has actually given us a little more permission to make some of our materials a little softer and more comfortable in a way. And on top of that, we're able to expand our basics line. So our Prospector hoodie program, sweatshirts and hoodies and sweatpants have been a really great staple for us. I think customers are looking for those other pieces that kind of accentuate their style and their wardrobe that are beyond the outerwear or the bags. So I think for us, comfort is actually something we want to focus on as we go forward a little bit, not at the expense of the classics and the products we made, but something that we know our customers are looking for.
As head of strategy, tell me what's challenging you now and maybe where you see you're working on change. You mentioned some things already, but yeah, current projects and what's challenging you.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's challenged us for Filson is we have such a loyal fan base, but our awareness is very small at the moment. So we're really trying to find ways to accelerate that. You mentioned things like Yellowstone. We've partnered locally with the Seattle Kraken. We're doing a lot more TV advertising and connected TV advertising out of home, really trying to grow that brand awareness because we do believe we have a very quality product that customers resonate with, but just need to kind of get our name out there.
We'll be right back after this quick break. And that in-store experience, I'm sure, makes the difference. Like, you see things online, you get them. It's not the same.
No, it's not. It's not. And having worked in a store and coming to shopping Filson, looking at other brands, I think people really want to have to touch and feel Filson product to really understand what it means to have a Mackinac wool cruiser made for 24 ounces of Mackinac wool that, you know, will hold 30% of its weight in water. And I'm throwing some technical terms out here and ideas, but like, it really is about that idea of touch and feel the product. I think Filson's also a very experiential brand. I think from a standpoint of content we create, we try to take customers into the wild, showcasing a variety of environments. And our stores offer that kind of feeling a little bit. Our store here in New York City is a beautiful store that has a deconstructed 18th century barn or 19th century barn that was in Oregon that we brought out here to make the interior facade for the space. And so they're very much nostalgic. They very much deferential to history and very nice ways to kind of capture Filson's heritage.
For sure. Tell me about what's happening online. Maybe the new standards. There's the Amazon effect. Everything's faster. Everything's affordable. but yeah, I mean, are you any updates recently as far as getting around the returns issue and really just making your e-commerce experience more efficient, best suited to the customer's expectations?
For sure. And I think you mentioned our relationship with Shinola and having kind of this parent company. So creating the synergies across that from a distribution center. So right now, Filson and Shinola have distribution centers, Shinola in Detroit, ours in Seattle. How can we kind of leverage each other to create a more flexible experience for customers so that they can get their product more quickly, that we can be able to have the best in-class experience for them, that they're able to get their returns on time, processing all that. There's so much great software out there, though, to help augment anyone's systems that are creating really great pathways for consumers to, you know, see something that's more in line with their experience that they get from an Amazon. And we're trying to do everything we can to stay on top of that.
Yes. Are you guys hiring now and growing your team? Just wondering kind of the hires that are maybe, you mentioned the new women's partners, but maybe people who have recently come on board or you're looking to hire somebody as crazy. I'm hearing brands are hiring like a social commerce manager. Like anyway, anything really like forward you guys are looking at?
Not specific. We are hiring, but nothing in kind of that realm that you're speaking of. But we're definitely looking at growing our marketing team. We're expanding on that side as well. Looking also on the material side within our sourcing departments. And you mentioned sustainability earlier a little bit. We are focused on that from a material standpoint. We're trying to get better about that. I think on top of, you know, the brand that we have is something that is timeless and is heritage. So in some ways, we do have a sustainable story in that our product is not fast fashion. It stays out there for a long time. It's something you can pass around to your kids and grandkids, but continue to incorporate that into our kind of standards.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit more about that marketing of your heritage. It's so valuable. Like, it goes beyond putting like established date, like that says a lot actually. But yeah, what more goes into this storytelling and does the customer want to listen? Like, are they tuning out? Is there a 5-second limit?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely, you know, you've got to think about the content we're producing relative to all the content that's out there. I think we're really in a unique space right now, where I think the Western lifestyle, that heritage brand, is kind of becoming at the forefront of fashion and interest. So we're in the moment of really trying to capitalize on that. But as you said, it's a combination of having long form media, and we're doing, you know, bigger production stuff, to really, what are those 5, 10, 30 second snippets that you can get someone to engage with and move to the next stages of the funnel. So, you know, as I mentioned, we're doing a lot of connected TV advertising and really seeing success around, you know, 15 or 30 second clips. We advertised around Thursday Night Football this past year on Amazon Prime, and really kind of connecting to those spaces, but knowing you only have this short moment in time to capture the audience's attention. And so what do you do to get them to make that leap from, I see this brand, I like this brand potentially, but now I need to go to the website and see more about it.
So interesting. What would you say that connected TV, like, I want to know what's working best to acquire customers right now.
For us, it's been connected TV has been really strong. And actually, you know, I said with the TVC or the TV commercials we've been running, they've been highly successful for us. We started that with Yellowstone just over 2 years ago now, and their first season of season 5A. We'll be expanding upon that this fall with season 5B. But as well with the football stuff, it's just, I think we're, again, what content we can create is really, I guess, inspiring and engaging in some manner. So we're getting folks to respond to it and actually make their way to our site and move through the funnel.
Yes. Have you guys tried radio or podcast? Just wondering. I feel like that would also work well.
It's always been our radar. We've done a little bit of stuff in the past on podcasting, but not as much. And radio has always been something. We do it locally with KEXP in Seattle, much more advertising around events going on in our stores. But definitely something that we have on our radar that we'd like to expand into.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Seattle, the number one customer base, because it's home.
Huge. Yeah. It's definitely our biggest, highest number, highest awareness there. We have two stores that are owned by Phyllis and a third one that's operated by the airport in SeaTac. So three markets, three stores there that, you know, combined make up about 15% of our overall revenue. And it's really a great market for us. I think we, you know, as I mentioned earlier, working with the Seattle Kraken helps us continue to own the Pacific Northwest a little bit more. But knowing that we have something really great here, expanding from a retail perspective, as I mentioned, with like LA and our stores in New York, really kind of getting us more of a national presence.
Yes. Any more category expansion for you guys beyond women's coming soon?
Not as of now. We're always evaluating new opportunities. We do have some collaborations that are coming up that are going to be very exciting. We do have expanded programs in our luggage and bag lines that have launched this fall or last fall and this spring, kind of building something from our rugged tool program down to like kind of basics nylon program, giving our customers a wide variety of options across a variety of price points.
Totally. What more can we expect from the brand this year? What does success look like for you? What goals do you have?
That's a great question. I think for us, really getting this women's line launched in a meaningful way is going to be, I think, the biggest thing that my team and I want to focus on. It's not only long overdue, but it's something that we really believe can be a big part of our business. Internally, there's bets going on how much percentage of our business it will look like in 5 years, which I think is going to be a significant portion of it if we can do it right. And so making sure that we really focus on that. But there's always asks for things like workwear line. We've done stuff in the past, a program called CCF that we launched back in 2019. It was around for a couple seasons, but we archived it. Again, something our customers are asking for and something we always want to explore as opportunities go forward.
To what extent does the strategy around women's, does it make sense to have a separate Instagram, maybe a separate store? You said a separate online experience, but do you need to, the women, maybe they're also shopping for their man, but like, to what extent are they divided or should they be?
Not now. Something we will definitely consider, as we're thinking about it a little bit from our social media standpoint, this is a conversation we were having just the past couple of weeks ago of really how do you make that feel appealing to both men and women. And so I think we're definitely gonna have to evolve a little bit. Right now, I don't think we need to have anything separate. It's not gonna, until it grows to a point that it might need that. But definitely there's dedicated support from the development side, from a designer to product development to sourcing, that really helps make sure the product is there. As we look at our team, as we grow, definitely potentially see opportunities for creating a more dedicated team supporting it. And you see it with brands like Ralph Lauren and other ones that have really kind of created unique spaces and unique business units within the organization that support that. So I hope we're going to get there based on the growth of the line. But right now we're going to kind of keep things tight among the team.
Ralph Lauren goals. Do you like, let's talk your role head of strategy. Are you staying put? Is this kind of your happy place?
I am. Yeah, I really enjoy it. It allows me to really think about a lot of opportunities for the brand. One thing we haven't touched on in this conversation today is hospitality.
Yes.
Our brand is our sister brand, as you mentioned, Shinola, has a hotel in Detroit that's beautiful. And for Filson, we really feel like there's a potential opportunity for us down in the future of, you know, a Filson hospitality experience.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I could see that for sure. Do you think you're in talks now? We could see this within the year?
Not within a
couple
years. Yeah, maybe a few years.
2025. I'm putting the pressure on.
Hopefully soon. It really is something that I think would be successful for us. I think it goes back to you were talking about the in-store experience, the product, the content we create, the taking you out into this wild, 127-year-old heritage brand, being able to have potentially a lodge in the future that really gives you that full-on experience, I think would be pretty incredible.
That would be fantastic. Any parting words? What have you learned over these 8 years at the brand?
What I've learned most is, you know, having a good group of quality people around me, you know, a really great team has been really beneficial in being able to grow the company the way we've had. You know, partnering with folks like Alex and Katie, as I mentioned earlier, has been really amazing and really driven us forward in a great way. And I think the success that I've had is really driven by the people around me. And I've always said that throughout my career. It's the people that support me, that I support, that I work with, that can make me successful in what I'm doing.
Yes. What have you come to know about people who are strong employees and coworkers? Like, while hiring, is there something you look for?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely when I look at hiring people, trying to find those people that are going to have that kind of special sauce, that, ability to work in the environment that we're in, which is, great, fun, good culture, and driving things forward. So yeah, it's definitely a part of the kind of hiring process and finding those fun, exciting people to work with.
Yes, it's always a challenge, including I'm hearing a lot about in-store associates. What a challenge.
From an in-store standpoint, one of the things I'm really actually really proud of with our stores is if you look at our leadership team across our store managers, the shortest tenured person right now is 2.5, 3 years. So most people have been there quite a long time. So really create a good, create a store experience. And I think the store managers really get to know their clientele well, really do a great job of training the team and creating a good customer experience.
Yes. I didn't even dig into that. One more question. Let's talk about that customer connectivity. Like, is this happening online as well? Maybe you are, you have stylists or just one-on-one consults. I don't know if the word's consulting, but yes, you're working one-on-one with shoppers. Or how are you able to replicate that online, if at all?
Yeah, we're looking to get into that more. We've launched a referral program very recently, but we're looking to expand into a loyalty program this year as well. And really creating an experience for our customers to have a little bit more connectivity to the brand, either it's first access or exclusive content in a way, and really kind of curating an experience for them.
Okay, very cool. Loyalty program, women's collection, hotel. So many exciting things to come. I'm excited to see what you guys do. Thank you, Neil, for being here. This was great.
Appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time today. It was wonderful meeting you.
You as well. That's all for this episode. Our theme music is by Otis McDonald. Be sure to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to The Glossy Podcast. See you next week.